Welcome to another episode of Conflict Learning Audio. My name is Bill Waters. I'll be your host. Today we're going to hear a few clips from the Sustaining Conflict Resolution Education Conference, Building Bridges to the Future, that occurred at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, March 9 through 11 of 2008. The event was sponsored by the Association for Conflict Resolution's Education Section, the Northern Virginia Regional Student Mediation Conference, and ICAR, the Institute for Conflict Analysis and Resolution at George Mason University. We're going to hear a bit of history about the conflict resolution education field from Larry Derringer, Executive Director of Educators for Social Responsibility, and we'll hear some interesting and exciting activities of undergraduate students who are going back into middle schools and high schools in their area and connecting with peer mediators, really building bridges to the future. Conference had a number of really nice features. The focus was on connecting across the generations in the conflict resolution and education field. One event that I particularly enjoyed was a Sunday evening plenary where we had former doctoral students from the ICAR program at George Mason who were now faculty members at dispute resolution or conflict studies programs in the region. And we got to hear from them about where they were when they started in their programs and what they're doing now, teaching a whole new generation of students, bring them into the conflict studies field, passing on of the knowledge of conflict studies to a new generation. Another exciting part of the event was one day the conference overlapped with the Northern Virginia Student Mediation Conference that's happening and going on for many years. Tricia Jones gave a keynote address to a group of some 500 or so middle school students who are all peer mediators from different schools in the region. Tricia Jones focused on peer mediators around the world and gave examples of what young people are doing in different countries and different parts of the world. So it was a very appropriate topic for the gathering, and she did a nice job with showing off boomerangs and different things from different parts of the world, an African mask that was very impressive. So lots of nice aspects of the conference. I had hoped to do more podcasting. I had my recorder with me, but I just couldn't bring myself to keep bugging people by sticking it in their face. So I did capture a bit of audio. We're going to hear from Larry Derringer's keynote, as I mentioned, where he talks about the history of the field, and we'll hear from some students. So lots of good things happening there, and this is just a bit of it. Here's Larry Derringer.
We began our work informally in 1982, although ESR was really born as a grassroots movement in many cities and communities across the country, even before 1982. For us, probably the Cold War was probably the galvanizing event. We were motivated by the prevention of nuclear need to prevent nuclear war and the long-term view and belief that really in order to prevent war in the long run, we needed to fundamentally change the ways we thought about conflict and differences. We needed to rethink how we relate to one another and develop new skills. And the educators who founded ESR really believed that needed to start at every level in education in our work with young people. And some people refer to ESR as the patient wing of the peace movement, or part of the patient wing of the peace movement, along with all the other educators who believe something similar. Another major benchmark in the 1980s was the emergence of conflict resolution education. I think it's safe to say that even though I know some of you in this room and others were involved well before 1980, going back into the earlier decades of this country to see conflict resolution really beginning, I think it's safe to say that conflict resolution really took off in the 1980s. And there are several things I would point to. The National Association for Mediation and Education, which went through several incarnations and became now what is the education section of ACR, began in 1984. Also, not quite 25 years ago, but nearly 25 years ago, people like Bill Kreidler, who some of you know, were doing their pioneering work in classrooms and then eventually with other teachers. He first published his book, Creative Conflict Resolution, in 1982. Tom Roderick, who's here. Tom, would you raise your hand just for a moment? Tom Roderick and Linda Lancieri founded the Resolving Conflict Creatively program in New York City, first called the Model Peace Education Program, and then RCCP in New York City, and it began to move well beyond the original three schools that launched the Model Peace Education Program in 1984. In the 1990s, I would point to several other factors and events that really galvanized the movement. One was the unfortunate growth of youth violence, and as we know now, it was heavily linked to the availability of weapons, the extensive availability of weapons. But in any case, conflict resolution education began to be seen much more widely as a part of the solution, not the only solution, but a part of the solution to youth violence. And it was, in my mind, I think, probably the factor that really galvanized and launched the movement in a much more extensive way. And I think, you know, there's plenty of conversation to be had about whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. Because certainly many of us have resisted seeing conflict resolution education as equating with violence prevention. But it's also fair to say that it's an important factor in efforts to prevent violence. I would also suggest that there are things you can point to and look to see that there was rapid growth in institutionalization of conflict resolution education during the 1990s. Schools committed to comprehensive programs in New York City and then around the country, eventually a total of 450 schools in about 26 school districts committed to participate in the Resolving Conflict Creatively program and the comprehensive approach that it embodied. There was expansion of the venues and constituencies involved in conflict resolution education. In our own case, we, together with Wesley University, we launched a Master's of Education in Conflict Resolution in Peaceable Schools that at the time was a kind of first of its kind in a school of education like that. We took our work that had been primarily in K-12 settings into early childhood and after-school settings and called it Adventures in Peacemaking. And others around the country were doing similar sorts of things. There were a lot of interest and a lot of opportunity to expand the work in conflict resolution into many different sorts of settings. 2000s. No Child Left Behind, specifically. No Child Left Behind, as I suspect many of you in the room have experienced, has really added significant challenges into the work in conflict resolution education. The standards and testing movements has narrowed the vision of education in many places around the country. Unfortunately, that has created some specific challenges for conflict resolution education. In many places, people perceive conflict resolution education as an add-on in this kind of educational climate rather than something that's central. And in an era where schools, for example, are being asked to double the amount of time in elementary schools that they're devoting to English and language arts and mathematics, conflict resolution education programming is one of the first things that tends to get bumped out of the program of schools. And what has happened in many places is that conflict resolution education has been reduced to peer education alone. And certainly peer education is absolutely wonderful. It seems to have many, not all places, have survived these changes. But in schools that were committing and willing to take a more comprehensive, a larger view of conflict resolution education, they in many instances were forced to pull back. I had an interesting conversation just last night with a longtime colleague, a woman named Jackie Schoner in California. Some of you may know her. She's also been involved in the field for a long time. She works for the Oakland Public Schools. She told me that Oakland is just now taking steps to revive its peer mediation programs. They really, in working with community boards in California, did some of the earlier conflict resolution work. They have programs in many, if not most, of their elementary and middle schools, and many of those went by the wayside in recent years. Fortunately, they brought back Gail Sadala, another name some of you know, from community boards time, and she is helping them to revive those programs. So there are certainly lots of pieces of good news and bright lights at the same time as all of this. I think the challenge before us all is to think anew about the entry points, the opportunities, the packaging, the forms that conflict resolution education takes in this day and age. You know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like, and I would even venture to say, potentially, no matter what kind of administration is in place and in Congress and the presidency, that the spirit of No Child Left Behind, if not the specific form of it, is likely to live on. And I think that the work of creating a more expanded and powerful vision of what education really entails will, like a lot of our work, be long-term work. And in the meantime, there will be challenges that we'll need to face and deal with in terms of continuing to make conflict resolution education a basic part of education in this country.
Could you tell me your name and your involvement with this project?
Hi, I'm Susan Hirsch. I'm a professor here at George Mason, and I direct an undergraduate program in conflict analysis and resolution. And this program, Peer Mediation Partners, is housed in our undergraduate conflict program.
So the students that I've been talking to are in courses in your program?
All of them, I think, are majors. They're part of our 150 or so majors that we have in this relatively new program.
And could you say something about what your role is? Are you running the Peer Mediation Partners, or how did it get started?
Well, it got started on the initiative of someone in the area who wanted to make a donation to ensure that Mason students would continue to be involved in peer mediation in the local schools in Northern Virginia. And he made that donation in memory of his late wife, who had been very active in Fairfax County schools getting peer mediation programs up and running, as well as the conferences that meet twice a year that bring students from all over Northern Virginia and the whole region, really, to develop their skills and share together about this project of doing peer mediation. So once he expressed that interest, I worked with him to figure out how we might structure it and put it on Mason's campus.
Great. Well, could you say a little about George Mason now has kind of the full spectrum of programming and conflict resolution education. Can you say a little bit about kind of what's available at George Mason?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. For a long time, Mason has had a master's program in conflict analysis and resolution, very intentionally named as such in order to be sure we're looking at analyzing the deep roots of conflict, and at the same time as we make theory about where conflict comes from, we've got an eye on what we're going to do in terms of resolution. Added a PhD program in the 80s, and then just 4 years ago, we decided to extend this to our undergrad population.
We're on a break right now, and I'm talking with two presenters who are doing the Peer Mediation Partners program, and I just want to ask you to say your name and say what your role is at George Mason.
I'm Jared Schmidt. I'm a CAR student, a sophomore, and a peer mediation intern.
Great.
I'm William Still. I'm a senior and a peer mediation intern as well.
Very good. I'm enjoying your workshop. Could you say a little bit about what Peer Mediation Partners is and what you've been doing so far?
Peer Mediation Partners is a student-run initiative where we work with local high schools and middle schools to support their peer mediation programs, where the students themselves are the peer mediators at the schools, and they work with their fellow students to help solve conflicts and disputes.
Could you say a little bit about some of the projects that you've done with the group so far?
So far it's been a lot of role plays and other more training-focused activities. In the future, we're planning a shadowing activity where students from one of the high schools we work with comes here and attends a class or two, works with some of the CAR students and other PMP members.
Great. You mentioned a t-shirt project. What was that?
Georgetown High School wanted to design t-shirts for their own peer mediation program, so we worked with them, helping them create their own design. One of their members actually took the initiative to find a place to produce the t-shirts and order them, and now they have their own sort of like unifying t-shirt.
Are you in it for more than just the semester, or what kind of program is PMP?
PMP is a very new program. We've just launched it successfully, I would say. What's going on now is an intern signs up for a year.
Okay.
The first semester, you're basically an intern underling, if you will, where you're learning from the previous generation. And to make it maintainable, then the second semester, you become a leader and you get your own intern, which you're training, and they're in for the first semester.
Great. Don't want to take you away from your preparation for your workshop, but thanks for talking with me.
Thanks so much.
Now I'm talking with two of the other presenters, Roxanne and Rebecca. I want to ask them to introduce themselves briefly and tell me a little bit about your background with conflict resolution. Roxanne?
All right, my name is Roxanne Libby. I'm a graduating senior at the Conflict Analysis and Resolution Program at George Mason University. I'm focusing on international conflict, and my experience with peer mediation is that I was a peer mediator in high school, and I'm currently a resident advisor. Of course, I'm taking classes on conflict analysis resolution theory and practice courses, and I'm a part of this program, the Peer Mediation Partners Initiative.
And hi, my name is Rebecca Newman. I am also a conflict analysis and resolution student. My focus is on the community and organizational, and my background is actually very similar to Roxanne's. I was a peer mediator in high school as well as a peer helper, and now I am a conflict resolution student.
And you're both seniors now?
Yes, both seniors, so graduating in May. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the workshop today. Well, go ahead, Roxanne.
The topic was creating partnerships between college and community, and so it focused on our Peer Mediation Partners Initiative, basically working on enhancing peer mediation students' skills and I guess giving them practical knowledge in order to use in their peer mediation.
Becky, you want to say a little about the internship? Students actually do an internship for this project?
Yes. The internship is through the Conflict Analysis Resolution Program. It began in January of 2007 through a donor, James Raleigh, whose wife passed away, and he wanted to remember her by, she was heavily involved in the peer mediation community throughout Fairfax County, and so he wanted to expand that involvement to the George Mason community as well.
Great. I'm really glad to hear that. I was involved with a project called the Bridge Project, trying to connect mediators at middle school and high school to colleges. And,
oh, okay.
We had a whole institute workshop on that in Georgia, where we planned out how we should do this, and you're doing it. You're living the dream. Anything else you can tell me about your undergraduate experience here at George Mason?
Being a peer mediator in high school has really helped me in being a resident advisor on campus. I've had to mediate many conflicts between roommates, of course, and just working with those communication skills and the team building exercises and community building that I do on my floors. It's all really helped, and it's helped enhance my ability as a peer mediator even today. And so I just keep getting more and more knowledge every year, working as a resident advisor and getting this experience from train-the-trainer activities, etc. So it's all helped.
Did you put being a mediator on your college application? Was that part of your application material?
It definitely was. Yes, because, I started
more students will do that without mentioning their skills.
It definitely helped. I participated in a lot of mediations when I was in high school, and it really affected me, influenced me, and I really enjoy helping people and problem solving and being a part of people's lives that way and trying to help them. So it's reflected in my desire to be a resident advisor. So
How about you? Did you, as a coming into the program here, did you know you wanted to be a conflict studies student, or how did that come about?
Yes, I did, actually. Well, I knew I wanted to work with people, and I wasn't sure which avenue I wanted to go. And I actually was, I knew I wanted to go to George Mason, and I was looking through the different bachelor's programs and kind of browsing to see what caught my eye. And one of the titles that caught my eye was Conflict Analysis and Resolution. And then as I read the description of the program, I couldn't think of a better fit for me. And as I've taken classes, I see that I made the right decision.
Well, you know, I have a BA in Conflict Resolution from UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And then when I got my PhD at Syracuse University, and now I'm a professor in the field, so who knows what could happen.
Right.
Stick with it. So, well, thanks for your time. I enjoyed your workshop.
Thank you.
And there you have it. I wanted to let people know that many of the presentations from the conference I've been describing are available on the Conflict Resolution Education Connection website that I manage, creeducation.org. If you go there and you look in the teacher section, you'll see a conference presentations menu item. And you'll see that there are many presentations there and slides that you can look at online. And one of them is from this Peer Mediation Partners workshop, so you can get more information. I wanted to congratulate our undergraduate students for connecting to students younger than them in their area. And I want to congratulate the former doctoral students who are now professors working with undergraduates and graduate students. It's a wonderful chain of sharing and developing our conflict resolution skills, and I look forward to continuing it myself. See you next time on Conflict Learning Audio. This is Bill Warder signing off.